You know, sometimes when you pray, it doesn't feel that good. That isn't necessarily a bad thing. We will talk about that. Plus, we'll look at the Mass readings from today's Mass on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay tuned, because here we go. Hey there, welcome to the program. Come on in, make yourself at home. I saved a seat for you. You know me, my name is Gary Zimak, and we do this program every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. And by the way, I haven't gotten it all hooked up yet, but as you know, probably you know, there are a few different ways to listen to the program. You could listen to it directly from blogtalkradio.com by searching for The Gary Zimak Show. You can listen to it from my website, followingthetruth.com, by going to the radio page. You can also download the podcast on iTunes. But I'm working on getting the show into TuneIn Radio, too. So that's going to be coming soon. That'll give you another way to listen to it. You'll be able to listen to the podcast on the go. You can download the TuneIn app, and you'll be able to take me with you. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but you will be able to do that. And I'll keep you posted on how that's coming. I've got to do some things to make that happen, and I haven't quite figured out exactly what needs to be done, but I think I got it right, but I'll let you know once I hear back from the folks at TuneIn Radio. It was great to be back here with you today. It's amazing. I live in South Jersey, which is right over the bridge from Philadelphia, and we have been having some incredibly wet weather lately. A lot of rain. Every day has had rain, at least for part of the day. I thought we would luck out today and we wouldn't get any rain, but lo and behold, we had some more rain today. Normally, that's not a big deal. But for me, I want to try to cut the rest of my grass. I got most of it done yesterday. I think I told you this story that I have an electric lawnmower. So unfortunately, I blew a circuit yesterday because it's a long story, but I had something stuck in the mower. I should have turned it off. I didn't. The circuit breaker tripped. And then we had problems with the breaker being bad. I had the electrician come over today. And I thought I'd be able to get the lawn finished, but I wasn't able to. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. I also want to let you know that tomorrow, if you are in the Philadelphia area, I will be speaking at St. Pius X Catholic School in Broomall, PA. And then I'm heading to Fort Worth, Texas on Thursday to speak at a meeting of Legatus of Fort Worth. So I got a busy week. I'm going to record the shows. I hope to get them all done for you before I fly out of here on Thursday. And next week, I'm going to be here all week, but then on Thursday evening, once again, I'm going to be headed to Charlotte, North Carolina to speak at a homeschool conference. But again, I'm going to try to make sure all the programs are up and recorded so that you won't be left without any programs. Tonight, as soon as I'm done this show, I'm going to get ready to do the Busted Halo show today. It's a busy radio day. I started out with Teresa Tomeo on Catholic Connection this morning, taped two programs with my friends at Catholic Radio KLFT in Louisiana, Lafayette, Louisiana. And now I'm going to do the Busted Halo show after I get done this program. Then tomorrow morning we continue the radio thing when I spend some time with Anna Mitchell for my weekly Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled segment. If you listened to the segment last week on EWTN Radio, you realize that what we're doing for the next 10 weeks is to step through my latest book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps. We're going through one of the steps each week. So kind of putting the Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled theme on hold for a few weeks until we get this done. But let's face it, if you are looking to overcome anxiety in your life, becoming friends with Jesus is the best way to do that. So I hope you can catch the segment. That'll be at 6:35 a.m. tomorrow on EWTN Radio on the Sunrise Morning Show. Now on today's show, the first thing we'll do is look at the Mass readings. I really was moved by these readings today. As we continue through the Easter season, we're wrapping up the Easter season. We just have a few more days left. And then we will be heading into Pentecost Sunday and then go back into ordinary time. But the beautiful thing about these readings has been that we've got a good look, especially in the first reading, at the early church. We saw what happened in the early church, how they worshipped after Christ ascended into heaven. And we'll continue that today by once again looking at the Acts of the Apostles in our first reading. And our gospel is another very good message from Jesus to us. And what I'm going to try to do with these readings is really apply them to our lives so that you can have a good, solid takeaway. That's what I want to make sure we do. And then in the remaining time of our show, today's Tuesday, so we're going to open up the book, The Imitation of Christ, by Thomas Kempis, and talk about the fact that we will undergo these periods of desolation. You know them. You pray. You're trying to do good things, but you are just feeling nothing. That is not necessarily a bad thing, and we'll discuss why that is the case. All right, so lots of good stuff here. Wait a minute, my foot is stuck in my headphones cable. This is not good. All right, we got that rectified. Now it's time for the beverage du jour. If it sounds like a nice hot cup of Mystic Monk coffee, you are correct. If you want to try some fantastic coffee, I want you to do this. I want you to visit followingthetruth.com. Look for the Mystic Monk image on the right-hand side of any page on my website. Click on that. You'll be taken to the Mystic Monk website. Buy as much coffee as you want, some tea, whatever you'd like. They got lots of good products there. And you never will be disappointed when you do that. And you do it from my website. Remember, you go on to Mystic Monk Coffee from followingthetruth.com. Here's what happens. You get yourself some fine coffee. The monks who brew the coffee make a profit, and yours truly gets a profit as well. And that's one of the ways that I keep this podcast free of charge, and I keep my full-time ministry up and running. That's one of the ways. The other way is, and you can help me out with this, if you're somebody who shops from Amazon.com, if instead of just going directly into Amazon.com, if you would simply visit my website first, followingthetruth.com, and click on the Amazon image, which is right either above or below the Mystic Monk image, then any purchase that you make results in a profit. The third way is to come out and just make a donation to keep my work going. You can do that from the Donate Pay tab on followingthetruth.com. You do that, you can either become a monthly sponsor, which I still need some monthly sponsors. If you're able to help me out, I would greatly appreciate it. Or if you want to make a one-time donation, I would greatly appreciate that as well. As I've said so many times, you're the reason why I am still here. If you don't like me, you have nobody but yourself to blame that I'm still here. But you're the reason I'm still here. 5+ years on Blog Talk Radio, every Monday through Friday. It's an amazing accomplishment. I'll tell you what, the reason I do it is because I care about you and I care about Jesus, and I want to bring you and Jesus closer together. And that's what we do on the program every night, Monday through Friday, 30 minutes each night. Let your friends know, let them know that there is no charge for this program, and let them know, because sometimes they might think it's a little crowded, they might not be able to find a seat. I always have extra seats here. Have you ever not been able to find a seat, right? See what I'm talking about? So there's always room at the table with me. We're hanging out. We're having some coffee. We're having whatever beverage you want. Feel free to bring a snack. We are two friends talking about Jesus. That's what we do on this program. And I would encourage you, it would help me out if you would do this, to let people know that this program exists. I don't think there's anything quite like it on Catholic radio. Obviously, I feel that I'm filling a need with this program. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. And judging by your comments, you are finding it helpful. So that's a good thing. So let your friends know about it. And if you need anything from me, always feel free to shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's pray, and then we'll do our Mass readings. Then we'll talk about desolation or dryness, especially when we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, as we turn to you in prayer today, the first thing that we do is recognize that you hear every word that we say, that we recognize that you know who we are, that you're available for us whenever we come to you, that you're always with us, and that you love us unconditionally. That is a great deal, Father. And we thank you. We thank you for loving us so much that you make yourself available and that you always do things that will somehow, that have the ability to somehow help us. Anything that happens in our life, even though we think it might be bad, somehow, we understand that because we know you love us, somehow can help us in some way. So we ask you, Father, to help us to accept the difficult circumstances, the suffering, the lack of comfort that we experience in our lives, and help us to always appreciate these situations as gifts from you. Father, we ask you to help those who are sick. Please help them to be physically healed, if it be your will. Help them to get, more importantly, the healing that they most need. Please help us to bring your love to those around us. Please use us in any way that you see fit so that we can bring souls closer to you. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. You sent him to us because you knew that we needed a Savior, that you knew that we couldn't possibly get to heaven by ourselves, and that we couldn't get through the challenges of daily life without Jesus' help. So we thank you for sending him to us. Father, we ask you to help those tonight who might be anxious, who might be lonely, who might be struggling with doubt or despair, those who might be dealing with financial problems, those who might be dealing with addiction. We give them all to you, Father. We ask you to help them. We also lift up anyone who is suffering from any form of religious persecution. Father, we give to you our own personal needs, whatever they may be. We give to you, or I give to you this program, and I ask you to speak through me, and to open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message, whatever it may be. Also, Father, we lift up our priests, our religious, our priests, our religious, our deacons, and anyone who is studying for the priesthood, for the diaconate, for the religious life. And we ask you to increase vocations so that we can have more people to draw us closer to you. And we also ask, Father, today for an end to abortion in the world. We ask for all these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary and ask for her prayers, as together we pray the familiar words, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us, and good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I want to thank you for praying with me. It really means a lot that we can get together and pray. Why do we worry? Please tell me that. Why do we worry? Why are we concerned about an uncertain future when we can pray and when we know that God loves us? Look, sometimes we get frustrated and we think, well, why should I have to pray? Because that's the way our Lord designed it. He designed it. If you look at Jesus, Jesus prayed. If Jesus prayed, don't you think that we should pray too? And again, we can have some complaints about that from time to time, because I've heard it. I've heard people say, why is it that I have to pray? But that's the way God designed it. He wants us to turn to him when we need something. Please don't make the mistake of not doing it. And even if you don't feel like it, make sure you always turn to the Lord and pray every day. Not just to ask for things, but to speak to him. To speak to him and to let him speak to you. We want to get this relationship going. And in order for that to happen, what is necessary? Communication. We have to have communication. By the way, I would love to speak at your parish. If you want to invite me to speak at your parish, just send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. I'll bring this message to your parishioners. They need to hear this message. We need to get people excited about Jesus and excited about the fact that he wants to be involved in our lives. And he wants to be intimate, close, personal friends with us. I'm getting a little excited, aren't I? Today's first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. Once again, this is the way it's been throughout the Easter season. I just love the Easter season because we can get to hear these great readings. I've been really enjoying this. Today, we turn to Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 27. Now, I want you to pay attention to something here. We are a few days away from celebrating Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Spirit descended upon the church, the leaders of the church, the apostles, in a very big way. Listen for the references of the Holy Spirit, or to the Holy Spirit, in this first reading. From Miletus, Paul had the presbyters of the church at Ephesus summoned. When they came to him, he addressed them, "You know how I lived among you the whole time, from the day I first came to the province of Asia. I serve the Lord with all humility and with the tears and trials that came to me because of the plots of the Jews. And I did not at all shrink from telling you what was for your benefit or from teaching you in public or in your homes. I earnestly bore witness for both Jews and Greeks to repentance before God and to faith in our Lord Jesus. But now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. What will happen to me there, I do not know, except that in one city after another, the Holy Spirit has been warning me that imprisonment and hardships await me. Yet I consider life of no importance to me if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to bear witness to the gospel of God's grace. But now, I know that none of you to whom I preached the kingdom during my travels will ever see my face again. And so I solemnly declare to you this day that I am not responsible for the blood of any of you, for I did not shrink from proclaiming to you the entire plan of God. You know what? This is such a powerful message. This is what you and I need to hear today. It might not be what we want to hear, but it's what we need to hear. Paul was told by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. Compelled by the Spirit, he is going to Jerusalem. But he has also been receiving a warning from the Holy Spirit that imprisonment and hardships await me. So what's he do? He goes anyway. It's amazing. We hear that and we think, wow, I wouldn't do that. If I knew that imprisonment was awaiting me and hardships, I'd run the other way. Don't you feel that way sometimes? But here's the thing. If you fully depend and get to know the Holy Spirit and pray for the grace to be able to follow his prompting, whatever it may be, you're going to ultimately be more peaceful. And I contend that, and look, this is hard to understand, but just hear me out for a minute. I contend that Paul was a lot more peaceful being in jail, which did happen to him several times, than being a free man and disobeying the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And you know why that is? It's because ultimately in life, if you want peace, if you want joy, you have got to be following the will of God. And it was God's will for Paul to move on and go to Jerusalem. And that peace, and he talked about this. Read his letter to the Philippians when he talks about that peace that he feels, even though he's writing that from a jail cell. Do God's will and you will be peaceful. And Paul had a tough message to present. It was not a popular message. It was a message that ultimately ended up causing him a lot of aggravation, a lot of persecution. But he was spreading the truth. That's what we're called to do. And if you don't think you can do it, make sure that you pray for the grace to be able to do it. Pray for the grace. That is so important. Pray for the grace. Don't try to just force yourself, because otherwise you will not be able to do what the Lord is calling you to do. Pray for the grace, which is what Paul did. It doesn't mean necessarily you're going to end up in prison. It just means that just like Paul, the Holy Spirit can work in your life and do great things. Today's Psalm 68, sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. A bountiful rain you showered down, O God, upon your inheritance. You restored the land when it languished. Your flock settled in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided it for the needy. Blessed day by day be the Lord who bears our burdens. God, who is our salvation? God is a saving God for us. The Lord, my Lord, controls the passageways of death. Boy, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? The Lord controls the passageways of death. You and I have the ability, by following the Lord, doing his will every day of our lives, it doesn't mean we can't slip up, but by consistently trying to do that, we have the ability to live forever with him in heaven. That's exactly what Paul did with his life. Let's pray for that grace that we can do the same thing. You know why? Because people need to hear about Jesus from you. There are people in your life who are not in my life. I can't get to the people in your life for the most part. And you can't necessarily get to the people in my life. We all have certain souls around us who need to hear about Jesus. who do you think the responsibility falls upon for spreading the good news? Yep, you and I. Are you ready? That's what we're being called to do. Let's look at the gospel. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that your Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the one, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave to me I have given to them. And they accepted them and truly understood that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours. And everything of yours is mine, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world while I am coming to you. You know what? This is, it's a little confusing. Isn't it the language used by St. John to illustrate, to present the words of Christ before he goes to his death? It can be a little confusing, but I want you to key in on a couple of points. Jesus said, I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. He accomplished the work that the Father gave him to do. Look at the first reading. What did St. Paul do? He accomplished the work that the Lord gave him to do. You and I have been given a task. You may not be sure exactly what your task is. For the most part, it's not that complicated. Whatever your state of life is, do the duties of that state of life. If you're a student, if you're an accountant, if you're a mother, and you're home with your child, whatever it is, if you can't get out of the house, if you're retired, and you can't make it out of the house, there are duties that go along with your state of life. You can always pray, even if you can't get out. Do the job that has been given to you, whatever it is. Now, there are going to be times when you're called to maybe step out in faith and do something different. But for the most part, doing the duties of your state of life is the way that you follow God's will. That's the work that he has planned for you. And we try to overcomplicate it sometimes, and it might not feel like you're doing something spectacular. But remember that for 30 of his 33 years, Jesus lived a very ordinary life. So ordinary, in fact, that we know almost nothing about that time frame. So keep that in mind and realize that if you and I are going to be holy, and of course, in order to get to heaven, we need to be holy, it doesn't mean that we never sin. What it means is that at every moment, we follow God's will. That's the goal. That should be our goal of life. And we need the Holy Spirit, which you have if you were baptized and confirmed. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. So let me tell you, it's not as if getting to heaven and becoming holy on earth is something that we can't achieve. We absolutely can achieve it, but we just need to depend upon the help of the Holy Spirit. So continue to pray for that grace and go out and spread the good news. People need to hear about Jesus. Now let's open up the Imitation of Christ. And for anyone who might have the book at home, I know some of you do have it. The version that I'm using is from the Catholic Book Publishing Company. This is my favorite version. I think this is a really easy to understand version, but it's not watered down, if you know what I mean. I'm reading from page 114. How grace is to be kept close through the virtue of humility. Now, what does that mean? Let's talk a little bit about this. A message from Christ. My child, it is better and safer for you to hide the grace of devotion. Do not speak much about it, nor think much about it, but rather belittle yourself more because of it, regarding yourself as unworthy of so gracious a gift from God. Do not depend too much on such feelings of devotion, which can quickly change into the opposite. When you have this great gift, think how wretched and poor you are without it. Progress in the spiritual life does not consist in having this grace of devotion, but rather in bearing the withdrawal and the absence of it humbly and patiently without ceasing to pray or leaving your accustomed good works undone. Do the best you can according to your ability. Attend to your soul and do not be negligent in your duties because of dryness or any mental anxiety you may feel. Let's do a quick translation. There are times when you pray that it feels really good. There are times when you're doing good deeds, whatever they may be, that it feels really good. You get what is known as consolation from God. Good feeling, peace, all that good stuff. On the flip side, there are going to be times when it doesn't feel good. We're not getting that consolation. We might even be getting periods of desolation, complete dryness, bad feelings, don't want to be with other people, want to withdraw into yourself. What we need to learn to do is to push on even when we feel that way. When you're getting the good feelings, that's God's gift to you. When you're not getting them, but you are praying and serving the Lord anyway, you guessed it. That's your gift to Him. And that's what we want to do with our spiritual life. We don't want to base it on feelings. It's devastating to base it on feelings. All right, back to the book. For there are many people who, when things do not go well for them, soon become impatient or lazy, and so set themselves back. Our life is not always ours to control. It is for God to dispose this as He wills, to give comfort when He wills, as much as He wills, and to whom He wills, and no more. Some imprudent people, through an indiscreet desire to have the grace of devotion, have damaged themselves, for they wished to do more than they were able, not taking into account the limit of their gift or their own weakness. They chose to follow their inclinations rather than good judgment, and because they presumed to undertake more than was pleasing to God, they soon lost the grace they already had. They were left poor and abandoned, for they thought they had built a nest in heaven for themselves. In this way, they were taught not to rely on their own strength, but humbly to trust in God and His goodness. Beginners and those inexperienced in the way of the Lord may easily fall into error and be deceived unless they seek the counsel of the wise. Just keep that in mind. When you pray, it doesn't always feel good. It doesn't mean you have no faith. It doesn't mean you don't love the Lord. It means you're human. And these emotions are just feelings. Continue to pray every day, whether it feels good or not. But if they choose to follow their own judgment and refuse to be dissuaded from it, rather than take the advice of those with more experience, their end will also be endangered. Seldom are the wise in their own estimation humble enough to allow others to guide them. Therefore, it's better to have a little learning with humility than great learning with self-complacency. It is better to have a little learning with grace than much learning which fills you with pride. I think one of the problems that we face with these bad feelings, or with this lack of good feelings, is that we think, well, I should be beyond that. I've been having this good relationship with Jesus for 10 years now. How come it's not getting better? What's going on? I can do this. And when you have that way of thinking, you have the me mentality. It's all about me. I'm going to get through this. But if you accept with humility the fact that you're going to have these bad feelings, you're not as good as you think you are, then you realize that you need the Lord, you turn to Him, and you get the grace, you ask for the grace that you need. Those who feel too secure in time of peace become dejected and fearful in time of conflict and temptation. If only you could remain humble and little in your own opinion, and keep the motions of your soul under control, you would not quickly fall into presumption or despair. When you receive the gift of fervor, it's wise to consider how you will act when that fervor is withdrawn. Then when it happens, think that it may soon return to you, which, for my glory and your warning, I have withdrawn from you for a time. Here's the thing to remember before we run out of time. We just have a couple seconds here. God's going to allow these feelings to come and go. Why? Because He doesn't want you just to come to Him when it feels good. Because sooner or later, you're going to just view Him as a vending machine that dispenses good feelings. He wants a relationship with you, okay? So continue to persevere. and you will bear great fruit in your life. I am completely out of time. God willing, I hope to see you tomorrow night. Have a wonderful night, and God bless you.